Well, can I give you all a very warm welcome to our service this morning? I say warm. I hope you keep yourselves warm. Keep your coats on if there's a bit of a draft. We have to obviously keep the ventilation. It's lovely to see you all, so many faces again. My name's James Eardley. Most of you know me here in the church, but for those that don't. And later on, Dalton King, our brother, will be speaking to us from God's Word. It's right, isn't it, that we are here this morning. It's right to come and worship our God. We think at Christmas time especially of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, his birth. And we need his word as well. We come to his word, the Bible. We'll be looking at that as well and hearing God speak to us. The prophet Elijah needed God's word. Here's a word for our encouragement. Think of the prophet Elijah after the incident with the prophets of Baal, where God answered with fire. And if you remember that account, when God sent fire down and showed that Baal, that false god, was nothing. But then from that high point in Elijah's life, there came a real low. Straight after that, he is fearing for his life, hunted by the wicked Queen Jezebel. And we read, there he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shall you anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." See, we might feel alone at times, but our God is with us. Where was God? Was he in the swirling elements? He was in the whisper. Let's come to God in prayer now. Let's pray. Lord God, we've read that account there of your omnipotent power. Lord, your power in all those things that shake our foundations and make us fearful. And Lord, we would come before you this morning, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, our all-powerful God. And Lord, we would be fearful. Lord, help us to tremble with reverent fear before you. And yet, Lord, we come to you and know that you are a good God, and know that we needn't be fearful because you Give us that hope. Lord, that hope that we can also cling to. That hope of the whisper. Lord, you speak to us, to our hearts, with a whisper. It's so easy at times to despair in our failings of sin, despair in our situations, and forget you in the midst of everything. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would help us as we worship you, to put aside any distractions we might have this morning, and to focus on the beauty and the majesty of our Father in heaven, Lord, and our risen Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remind us this morning of your presence and your promise to be with us always. Amen. Well, we're going to come to God now and bring our songs to him with our first song in Christian Hymns, number 174. 174, let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree. And then there's a great part in this first verse. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. We can't understand it. We can't understand how God could become man in the person of Jesus Christ. But it happened. Thank you, Sarah. Brother Kenny is going to come and give us a reading from 1 Peter chapter 5 and reading the whole chapter.
First Peter chapter 5 verses 1 to 14. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in charge of you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ.
Thank you, Kenny, for bringing that part of God's word to us. And Dalton will be opening up that to us in a short time. Please have a look at the Little Hill link. I won't read all of it, otherwise I'll be here next Sunday reading it. But just a few things to bring to your attention. Tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. there is the church council meeting. You will not need to attend in person. This will be via Zoom. So please ask Andrew if you would like the link for that, and he will set you up. Then on Wednesday at 12 noon, there is the men's shed, and this time it's a Christmassy lunch. Sounds good, men. And that will be at Trevor's house, so please let Trevor know if you are coming to that. Then on Thursday, this coming Thursday, our midweek meeting will be at the usual time of 7:45, and this week it will be the Lord's Supper and prayer led by Barry Cook. So if you are able to come to that, could I encourage you to do so? Come and meet around the Lord's table and remember Christ's death for us on the cross. And then next Saturday morning, it's the prayer focus at 9 o'clock in the morning. So if you're up bright and early, one of those morning people, and it'll be good to come along to the church and pray for some of those things in our world, in our nation, and in the life of the church. And next Sunday, Fakir is preaching in the morning, and Josh is bringing God's word to us in the evening, and that will be a carol service. I must say, Josh is preaching this evening as well, our pastor Josh. I didn't say that. Then, just to let you know that if you can invite your friends to that carol service for next Sunday, there's another one happening. And this time it's a coffee and carols, and that will be on the 22nd of December at 7 p.m. So that's midweek, coffee and carols, and our brother Peter Rush is bringing God's word to us then. Then just a few things to mention. We have been having people praying in the back room for the morning, before the morning service at 10 past 10. So anybody is welcome to do that, to pray before we come and meet. But could I say that the prayer meeting before the afternoon service is now to be held in the upstairs room at 10 past 5. So that's only the evening service for now to be held in the upstairs room at 10 past 5. So that's for all that wish to join in then. The elders would like to encourage you, if you've been doing the Reading the Bible scheme together. You're currently in Leviticus if you've started that this year, but they would like to encourage you for next year. If you can If you've been thinking about it, would like to read the Bible over the course of, I believe it's 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. Then you can start this coming year. So maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you didn't get to this year. Can I encourage you to do so? Come to speak to one of the elders if you'd like to do that. And then finally, our final notice is coming to sing carols. More carols, but this time it's different. It's singing to people in the fellowship that have maybe not been able to attend recently due to various reasons. If you want to be involved with that, please see Sarah or Dalton by the end of today, I'm told. And that will be this coming Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m.-ish. We go round in cars to various homes, about six different homes, and so roughly we'll sing a few carols at each home just to encourage and be a witness as well in those places. So please get in touch with Dalton and Sarah by the end of today if you want to be involved in that. I think that's all the notices. Not seeing anybody else waving their hand at me. No, good. Right, let's bring some of these things to God in prayer. It's lovely to have that acrostic, isn't it? Life, and that way of remembering that great part of God's word. Well, we're going to sing before Dalton comes and brings God's word to us. Let's sing in the supplement. It's number 32. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
Thank you. thank you, James, for leading. Thank you very much. That really helps. And thank you, Kenny, for reading as well. Thank you. If you're a visitor, again, as James has said, a very warm welcome this morning to our church. And my name is Dalton. I'm one of the members here at Little Hill Church. Let's ask the Lord to be with us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you're with us, you're with your people. You've promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, we pray that we will know a sense of your presence with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can say all the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Lord, we pray that that will be our prayer this morning, that we want to thank you for all the way that you have led us and continue to lead us even to this day. Bless us, we pray, and we pray that you will, as James prayed, take away anything, Lord, that would stop us from hearing your voice. Oh, Lord, we pray, O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us this morning. Amen. Please turn with me to the passage, 1 Peter chapter 5. Our text this morning, this is so rich and so full. As I usually say, we won't have time to get into all of it because it's so wonderful. Our text this morning is verse 7, where it's have these wonderful words, these words that we all know so well, and I really pray. And it's just interesting, you know, how God works, because these last couple of weeks, this is the honestly, these last few weeks, I've been wrestling, what do I preach on? And it's only in the last, just over a week or so ago, the Lord just gave me, part of our reading and quiet times, these wonderful verse, and verse 7. And then we've had a sort of week that we've had last week, that we all know about, which we'll talk about. What a week this last week, and all new instructions. And that's the Lord, my eyes just fell on these words. Verse 7. Casting all your anxieties. In the authorized, it's got cares. Well, we don't go around saying, how's your cares necessarily today? We use the word probably more anxieties, but it says, casting all your anxieties on him. Who is him? On God, on Jesus. Casting all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for us. Isn't that lovely? You know, we could finish there actually and go home, because there's enough there just to ponder on. And really, as we look at this, we've got to ask the reason why it was written. It was written, we find in chapter 1, if you look in chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter, who wrote this, it was written to those who were scattered. God's people, because of all the persecution, I know there's a red light here that I would love to press, but I don't want to move it on just in case I mess my slides up. But there are five regions that's mentioned in verse 1, and the regions are there. Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and Pontus. The regions are all there. And all the Christians, because of all the sufferings that was going on, look at that wide area. I won't try my red thing because I might mess it up. But all around the area there, from Asia, Galatia, Cappadocia, all there, the Christians are all dispersed. Why? Because of the sheer persecution. And as a result of the persecution, this is the thing that is even more wonderful. As a result of the persecution, what happened? The word of God spreads right across the regions. So people thinking that they're going to stop the spreading of the word, it increased even more. And as a result of what was happening here, as a result of the persecution and the scattering of God's people, not only was it, as we've said, that the word spread, but more than that, Christians did suffer. And here was Peter now coming in, saying, look, we know it's hard. We know you're all dispersed into all these different areas. And we may feel after this last week, we may feel a bit depressed. You know, let's be honest, we might do. We might be thinking, oh no, not more restrictions. Oh no, what are we going to do? And it can get us down. It can get all of us down. But we've got to keep on keeping on. Why? Because of verse 7, we're going to cast our cares upon him. So that's the region. So let's ask who it was written to. Well, I've already said that, really. It was written to persecuted Christians. And at times, even in this world, we may feel just like that. We feel persecuted. We feel, how are we going to cope? How are we going to go on? And it may feel persecution for some of us, maybe this last week. But, you know, we've got to follow. It's important and it's right that we should. And we've all got different views on it, but we should follow. And we should keep one another safe and respect each other. And as James prayed, love one another even during these times. But so God's people, it was to them. Why was it written? Well, again, I've said it, to encourage. And this is the message this morning. To encourage believers to bear up. And even when the sufferings that we go through, it may seem unjust. It may not seem right. But we want to bear up because we've got a God who's going to keep us. And our God will keep us to the end. And it's interesting, right throughout, when we look at Peter, right throughout Peter, we find here chapter 4. If you look in chapter 4 and verse 12, it talks about the fiery furnace, doesn't it? How Christians, what we're going to go through when we suffer. We're going to suffer loads. Verse 12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery furnace. Are you surprised? We shouldn't be in this world because we're going to get it. We know the Christian life is tough, isn't it? It's hard. And when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. And what a joy in a sense. It doesn't feel the joy when we're going through it, does it? We want to pack up, we want to give up. But do you know what? The fact that our Lord Jesus himself has been through that should stir us up. And again, just before we get to chapter 5, because this is so rich, again in 1 Peter, yeah, we're moving around just for a minute, and if you look in verse 20, just before we get to the main point of this, it talks about who we foreknow. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. Again, talking about the great inheritance that we have, all the things that we have in Christ. And sometimes as we see the suffering, we've got to see the big picture. And what's the big picture for the believer? Heaven, glory. And that's a place one day that we're looking forward to be with the Lord Jesus. So, right throughout this, and we could cite so many more scriptures leading up to chapter 5, he wanted to encourage the believers, and I pray this morning that I seek to do that with God's help. So as we get to chapter 5, it talks here, he exhort the elders among you, those who are in leadership and each other, you know, to be witnesses of the sufferings. And equally, for all of us, as we go on and we see so much that's going on, let's see the big picture again, that Christ Jesus is coming again. And he says, don't worry, humble yourselves. He's encouraging them. Verse 6, so much in this, it's rich. And then verse 7, cast in your care. And the word cast in, and I meant to put that up on the slide, and I'd forgotten. In the Greek, and I'm not trying to be clever, it's epiripto. Epi, E-P-I, it means cast in on top of, yeah? And ripto, R-I-P-T-O, it means hurl. So the word casting, epiripto in the Greek, it means casting your cares. Literally, there's a sense of violence cast, ripto, violently casting your care on who? On Jesus. Epiripto. Well, I was trying to be epiripto this week, to go back to the Greek, but that's what it means. It means violently. Christians, you know, throw it, not throw it in a way that, you know, not throw it in just any old way, but say, Lord, I can't cope. I need you, Lord. Because what we tend to do, don't we? We keep it. We don't cast our cares and our burdens on the Lord. So, under that, what we're going to do, we're going to look at four very simple and straightforward things to help us. How do we cast our cares upon the Lord? Now, I'm mindful, and John said something very helpful last Sunday. We as preachers, John talked about joy. And sometimes you can talk about joy, as John was saying, and then you go back out and you think, well, none of those are true of me. You walk out feeling worse. And equally this morning, we're talking about casting your care upon the Lord. And I don't want anybody to go out here feeling, well, I'm not doing that. Oh, I'm really down. Because that's not the purpose. The purpose is not to make you feel worse than when you came in. The purpose is to encourage you, despite all that's going on, to say, do you know what? You can't manage it. But you know what? God can. God can. So whoever you are, you know, remember that. There are these things that are far too big for us. It's a mountain. How are we going to do it? Lord, we can't do it. Tell God how you feel, and he'll help you. I really mean that. So how do we do this casting, this anxiety? Well, we're going to look at four simple promises how we can cast our cares on the Lord. Promise number one, remember God's got a plan for your life. And I love Ephesians. Please turn with me to Ephesians. And it's familiar. Of course it's familiar. You all know what I'm going to say this one. But we need reminding how precious we are to God. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. So whoever you are, think, I've been created by God. And you know, God wants to mold me and to make me more like him. So no matter how tough the going is, God's got a plan for your life and my life. And we say praise God, don't we? Because this is our God. We won't let COVID, we won't let restrictions, we won't let all these things drag us into the mire, because we've got a God who's going to keep us. Yes, we're going to follow the instructions. Yes, we're going to be, you know, sensible and responsible. But you know what? Ultimately, we've got a God who's going to keep us. And however we feel this morning, it's not a time, dare I say, try not to be in the dumps, as it were, because you've got a God who's got a plan for your life, and he's got a plan for my life. And day by day, certainly, we want to trust this God. And again, another familiar promise. And yes, we're going to cite one or two, and you're going to say, oh, I know that one, but yeah, Jeremiah, yes, how can we not have Jeremiah? Jeremiah 29. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29. And I nearly said, I'll test you all. What's the verse I'm going to say? Verse 11. Thank you, Josh. That's it. Verse 11. Because we know it. It's rich. Because we say, casting our cares upon him, God's got a plan for us. And what does it say in verse 11? No matter how worked up we may feel this morning, for I know the plans I have for you. Do you know, we could put our names there, couldn't we? It's for you. It's for me. It's for the believer. The person who's really trusting God this morning. The person who's got to a point where he said, do you know what, Lord? I can't do it. But I know you can. You can. So, I know the plans I have for you. And then it talks about it, doesn't it? Again, verse 11. What are the plans, declares the Lord? Plans for welfare. Not for evil. Not for evil. To give you a future. Let's be honest. We all want a future. A future in God. A future that we're looking, keep looking to God. We may not feel we've got a future at times when we think, my lot is this. And you know, and it's hard. There are some folks in our church that's amazing, been caring for their loved ones for years. And they would still give God the glory, because God's given them the strength to go on caring for their loved ones. So we thank God for those folk. And at times they may feel low. They may feel, you know, I keep casting my cares upon the Lord, but it keeps coming back. And it's hard. It really is hard. But please don't give up, because God says, you know, my plans for your welfare, to give you a future and a hope. And a hope. And this is the God that we have and the God that we worship this morning. And he has the plans for each one of us. And even though there are times when we don't feel as if there is a plan, God will not abandon us. And that's wonderful. He'll keep us to the end. This is why, as Christians, those who know and love the Lord, we believe he'll keep us. Yes, there'll be times when we feel low, we feel, where are you, Lord? Just like footprints, you know, footprints. We think, Lord, where are you? We think the Lord's, you know, dropped us. He's not dropped us. He'll keep us. We believe, those of us who know and love the Lord, in the perseverance of the saints. God keeping his people to the end. Those who have really put their faith and trust in God, that he'll keep his people. So God's plan. But then secondly, I want you to notice God's promise that he has for each one of us. And it's real. Yes, some of these, it's familiar words, but 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 5. Great promises that God's got for each one of us. Day by day, moment by moment. Verses 3 to 5. His divine powers granted to us all that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. He's called us. By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. What a promise, ultimately, for us. These are wonderful. We can't even take hold of this. It's so rich. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge. And so it goes on and on and on and on and on there. God's promise to keep us. And then we've got in Isaiah, and I love this, really do. Isaiah 55 and verse 22. What does it say? Cast, we've got the word there, cast your burden on the Lord. And what will he do when we cast our burden on him? He will sustain us. Thank you, Graham. He will. He will. And again, I hope we're not, I don't want you to feel, well, I've been casting it and nothing's happened to me, and I feel, you know, keep on keeping on, because he sustains his people. He doesn't give up on us. And yes, there are times when we give up on God, sadly, but we've got to keep on trusting in him, because these promises here are real. And what about when we go through the fires of this life? Again, we need to turn to it, but Isaiah 43. I love Isaiah. I've read it so many times. Love it. So Isaiah 43, the first verses 1 to 3. When you walk through the fire, it talks there, you shall not be burnt. And the waters, sometimes we feel our problems are overtaking us. And we think, Lord, we're sinking. Where are you, Lord? It says, you will not be burnt, and the fire will not overflow you. What a God. What promises. And sometimes we feel, yes, sometimes we feel just like Peter. Do you remember Peter? He got out the boat, and the storm came. And then he looked up, and he cried out to God. But actually, I admire Peter. And the reason why I admire him, because he was willing to step out of the boat. Some of the other disciples, they stayed, didn't they? And I feel sometimes we beat Peter up too much. He was willing to get out. Oh, that God will help me, help us all, to be willing even to step out for him in faith. Even when the going gets so tough, and it is tough. Sometimes the Lord wants us to launch out, not in our own strength, but in his strength, day by day. So, We have got God's plan for our lives. All the things he can do. We've got his promises that are real. It's for us. Day by day. Moment by moment. And I love Philippians 4:6. It says there, do not be anxious about anything. It doesn't mean we live a careless life. It doesn't mean, well, it doesn't matter. God will take care. No. Because there's responsibility as well, isn't there? It's not all down to the sovereignty of God and everything else will happen. No, we've got the responsibility. They work in parallel. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. And, you know, we should be responsible. But do not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer. And I love that, by prayer. When you see that, when you read that, don't just read the first bit, be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks. It says by prayer. And we need that by prayer, don't we? Day by day, we need the by prayer. And the prayer will keep us going. We dare not give up on prayer. I remember it said, it's a bit of a tongue twister, but it says, prayer is as essential to the soul as breathing is to the body. I'll say it again. Prayer is as essential to the soul as breathing is to the body. If you're not breathing, you'll die. We're not saying that the soul will die because it's immortal, it's eternal. But we've got to pray unto God, haven't we? We've got to be in touch with God day by day as our Heavenly Father. If we're not in touch with him, you know, we're going to struggle. And God doesn't want us to struggle. God doesn't want us to beat ourselves up because he won't drop us. He'll keep us. And he'll keep us to the end. It's lovely. So God's plan, God's promises. And then thirdly, we have, too quick, James. Can you get rid of that? Thank you. God's protection. How will he protect us? We're going through it every single day. We've got the same chore we're doing, the same routine, the same everything. And we feel like even giving up. Well, the battle, and it does feel like a battle. Can I just say to all of you, the battle is the Lord's. Whatever you're going through, it's the Lord's ultimately. What evidence? How can I say the battle is the Lord's? And I love this. Exodus, just turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. Isn't this lovely? We've not even fully got into our text, in one sense. Exodus chapter 14. Look at these amazing words. And we'll look from verse 10. Exodus 14 and verse 10. Very quickly. What's happened here? Pharaoh, God had brought his people out of Egypt. They were marching out. Pharaoh didn't like it. He was going after God's people. God's people, they saw Pharaoh coming after them and they were all afraid. And this is where we pick it up. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes and behold, the Egyptians, their problems. These were the people coming after them. We see loads of Egyptians around, our problems, inverted commas. We're marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. That's what we often do, aren't we? We cry out to God. Lord, why are we going through this? Lord, what's this? They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. What a thing. That's an insult to God, really. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. God's people talking about serving the Egyptians. But then, and Moses said to the people, fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you. When will he work it? Sorry? Today. Now. Today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see never again. And this is the bit. Verse 14. Please take this home, everybody. the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. The battle, the daily battle we have, the Lord is going to be with us. It's not for us to try to manipulate things, as so often we do. And we're not forgetting our responsibilities as well. But sometimes we get tummy ache, we get worked up, we feel terrible inside. For some folk, it's hard, we can't get to sleep. What's the anxieties that we get? We find our mind is going round. You know, we just cannot get to sleep because we're worried. And we're worried about a number of things. Things going on now, things happening, our health, our loved one health, and we could go on and on and on about the things that gets us down. But do remember, we've got this sovereign God. He's going to keep us, and he'll keep us, as I've already said, to the end. And it's wonderful, what protection. And then, as if that's not enough, we again have Deuteronomy, 33. We often read this at a funeral service. Well, we haven't got to wait for a funeral service to read this. So lovely. Because Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, we have these lovely words. The eternal God. See, I love the way it starts. The eternal God is your dwelling place. And underneath are the everlasting arms. So our problems, our issues is there. But the everlasting arms of God is there. Never forget that. Sometimes we look around, we can't see it. It's there. We keep trusting and believing he's able. You know, some folks have gone through difficult times, immense times, worrying times. But our God, as I say again, keep his people. And throughout all this, we can still say, surely, finally, not just God's protection, but we can know his presence with us day by day. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. What's it says there? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes we feel, where is God in all of this? You know, let's be honest, we do. We think, Lord, we can't take anymore. Where are you, Lord? Without me repeating some of the things I've already said, he is there. He will not abandon you. Oh yes, the devil will come and say, oh, don't believe any of it. Why bother? There's nothing in it. That's the voice of the devil, honestly. But we want to believe and trust in the God who's going to keep us to the end. And no wonder, I love this, Psalm 23 and verse 4, but it says, even though I walk through, it talks the valley of the shadow. I love this translation, this bit. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, what does it say? I will be with you. The darkest valley of this life. What a God. Can all this be true? Yes, it can be. In times like this, Dalton, yes, it can be. Because we've got a God who's overcome all this. We're on the victory side, aren't we, people? Because we're Christians. We know and love the Lord. And can I say this morning, if you're not a Christian, if some of these things are foreign to you, you need to do something about it. Don't go out the building until you get right with God. Until you know this Savior. Until you know that you've got someone that you can cast your cares upon. It's no good casting your cares on other people. We've got a real God who's able to keep you. Don't wait. Don't wait for tomorrow. The Bible doesn't talk about tomorrow. The Bible talks about now. This God who can keep you to the end. So if you're not a Christian, oh, get right with God. Whoever you are, you're listening online, wherever you are, the quietness of your room, turn to the Lord Jesus. You can know life for a look in the Saviour. This morning, as Spurgeon cried out many years ago when he was saved on that snowy night, You can know Christ. You can have a new purpose in your life. A new direction. Why? Because you're following the Lord Jesus. And he will keep you to the end. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Lovely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. I told you we weren't going to get far further than verse 7. That casting. Remember what we said. That word was epiripto, E-P-I, on top of ripto, violent casting. That's the actual word for casting. Epiripto, casting our cares, our anxieties on him, on God. Well, may the Lord help me, help us all to do that. Oh, help us. I pray that we'll be encouraged this morning. And when we go out there with all the things that's happening, keep on keeping on for God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you know all about us. Lord, you know what we go through. You know the things that really gets us down. But Lord, we pray that you'll help us still to want to trust you in all that we do and say. For Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing the next hymn, His Mercy, What Love Could Remember No Wrongs We Have Done. I've been given a little note by the pianist, so I've got to read this for everybody. It's got just a heads up with the tune. Listen to these two bars of music. They are played before coming into each verse. Then we'll start with the introduction. Have you all got that? And let's finish with these wonderful words in verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5, in the light of what we've heard. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him, praise God, be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen.